Nation. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning. And thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's such a privilege to join you on Saturday mornings. And I'm joined in studio with Education Nation producer and co-host, Mark Durkin.
Good morning again, Rebecca.
Good morning. So, Mark, we have another exciting show planned today. 2 weeks ago, the largest celebration of opportunity in education took place across the country. And we're talking about National School Choice Week. And there were several hundred events held here statewide that helped inform Minnesota families of the different types of education available to their children. But perhaps the most meaningful and the biggest moments of the week were captured here at the state capitol, where we had several private school principals and business owners who testified before the state legislatures. And that was their testimony was on the need for school choice legislation expansion and the successes that school choice is already making locally, especially in low-income areas.
Oh, that is so true, Rebecca. Last week, we spoke with the principal from Ascension Catholic School in North Minneapolis, and he spoke of the relationships that are being built within the community and how more than 300 inner-city students are being raised as scholars, as he put them.
Yeah.
And today, we're going to hear from a former inner-city public school student who became so disillusioned with the public school system he attended that he dropped out. But that didn't stop him from achieving his goals. Mm-hmm. Mr. Houston White went on to achieve success in business, and the burden that he carries for families that lack hope in their educational endeavors drove him to start a business back in Minneapolis. And today he joins us in studio to share his story, how he is connecting with families as he promotes opportunity scholarships.
Yeah. Our conversation with Houston White is going to be fantastic. Our listeners are going to want to make sure that they don't miss it. And it's going to be coming up in our next segment. But first, we want to share some numbers on school choice and public opinion. And it actually comes from a 2015 study conducted by the Friedman Foundation for Educational Choice. And Minnesotans were asked their thoughts on public schools as well as private schools. And the results are interesting.
And according to that study, Rebecca, this time it is showing that parents, they're wanting school choice programs. And when you think of the growth of school choice, back in 2012 here in Minnesota, more than 220,000 taxpayers claimed a school choice deduction. And that was followed up the next school year in 13 and 14, where more than 43,000 Minnesotan students attended 149 charter schools statewide. Again, Minnesota being the home to the charter school.
Yep, exactly.
And it's estimated that more than 50,000 taxpayers use the public and private educational tax credit in any given year. So the top priorities, though, according to Minnesotans, one out of five Minnesota voters, that's 20% that were polled, said education should be the state's highest priority, slightly edging out economy and jobs.
You know, I am so glad to hear that. As a school,
you're always hearing about education, or excuse me, right. Economy and jobs. It's all about that.
Well, and as a school leader, I have always said it is education that shapes a culture. You know, we look at politics and it seems like that always seems to be the focus. And of course, within politics, it always seems to be the economy and jobs. And these are important things.
Right.
But if education is what shapes a culture, then we need to be focusing on it much more than we have been. So I'm so glad to see that statistic. That's
absolutely
really wonderful
and,
to see.
You know, the volume is certainly growing louder in the argument and in discussing school choice. And it's going to be great to see how things move going forward. And then when you think about sentiment and ratings, well, more than half of Minnesota voters optimistic about K-12 education direction. Hmm. You know, you think about that. They have a high view of the public school, 52% in favor versus 36% who say it's going in the wrong direction. And large proportion of voters have a clearly positive view of the state's public school system. 65% said good or excellent versus 33% who said fair or poor. So despite the positive ratings, though, for public schools, and this statistic really stood out to me, Minnesota voters are more likely to give A or B grades to private schools over their local public schools. For those that gave a response to giving grades, 14% of voters give an A to regular public schools, 42% give them a B, and 34% of voters give an A to private schools, 49% give them a B. So my question is this: why would voters hold a convincing positive view of the state's public school system, yet be more inclined to give higher grades to private and parochial schools?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting statistic, isn't it? And I think it's because people want to believe in the public schools. You know, we all have this notion that public schools are important and that they provide an opportunity for all kids. And so we want to be positive and we want to think the best. But at the same time, I think people are starting to realize that things are not necessarily going the way they should in education. And so they tend to look at those private schools and think, well, they must be doing a better job. Thus, they're giving higher marks to the private schools. They may not know for sure, but I think it's just this perception that private schools must do it better than public schools.
They feel like maybe something's missing on the public school end
of
things.
Right.
Well, in Minnesota, as well as other states, substantial gaps exist between personal school preferences and actual school enrollments. 45% plurality of voters, they would choose a regular public school. But the reality is this, Rebecca: 85% of K through 12 students, they attend public schools in Minnesota.
Interesting. Yes. So even though, you know, 45% would say, boy, I would rather not choose a public school, or 45% say they would choose it. That means the 65% says they wouldn't, or 55. Sorry. Got to get my numbers right here.
More than half.
But still 85% are actually in them. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
That's a wide gap.
Yeah.
In one out of three voters, 36% said they want to send their child to a private school, when in reality, only 8% are enrolled in private schools.
And I think that's because of the financial piece. And that's where the whole school choice legislation becomes very important.
One out of 10 voters would opt for a charter school. And in reality, only 5% of students currently go to public charter schools. And 7% would like to homeschool their kids. Fewer than 2% do. Well, when we come back from the break, Houston White of Minnesota Harvest Initiative, he joins us in studio to discuss the disillusionment that he, along with so many others he knows personally, past and present, have experienced in their educational experiences. We'll also discuss what he is doing now to help educate inner city families and advocate for opportunity choice scholarships. You won't want to miss this. Stay tuned.
We don't need no thought control.
Well, welcome back. We are here today talking again about school choice. This has been the topic of our conversation for the last week's show and this week's show as well. And we are happy to be joined in studio today with Houston White, who is part of the Harvest Initiative in North Minneapolis. And we are so glad to have you with us in studio today. Welcome, Houston.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Glad to be here with you guys.
So I got introduced to Houston a few weeks ago at the state capitol during National School Choice Week. And Houston, you testified before the House Education Committee as well as one of the finance committees that day. And I was so impressed with your presence, your heart, and your passion for trying to make sure that students get the best education possible.
Thank you.
I think everyone in the room felt the same way as they listened to you give your heartfelt testimony. So tell us a little bit about your own background briefly, and then tell us a bit about the Harvest Initiative too.
Well, my name is Houston White. I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay.
I came here with my mom in 86 or so.
Okay.
Being from a family, a divorced family, you know, I remember being young and I used to always tell my mom, I'm going to buy you another house one day, and we're going to be good, mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she said, you know what, your gift will make room for you. And, you know, my life has been kind of a testament to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've used my God-given gifts, literally.
Yes.
To create a life for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this process of growing up, experiencing life in the inner city, but also spending summers in the South, where there were certain certain expectations, I guess. I'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I had to work every single day, no days off in the summer, which kind of helped shape me and give me the discipline that I apply today. So, you know, I'm just a young guy who made good on a promise to his mother.
Mm.
And, you know, my involvement in the Harvest Initiative, Reynolds Anthony, a mentor of mine, you know, a man who I admire dearly, we nicknamed him a Papa Bear.
Oh, and he looks like a Papa Bear, too. Like he testified that day, too.
Yeah. Brilliant man. He's been a client of mine for some time. We talk. We have so much in common. But he spearheaded this movement. And what it was about is getting black men to lead again.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, you know, we're all business owners. You know, none of us are in the nonprofit world as an occupation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we feel it's important for us to take the lead again in shaping what our community's future looks like. And it starts first with education.
Oh, it's so outstanding. I can't tell you. I get chills, seriously, when I hear you talk about this, because that is precisely what is required, is to have people leading and having you being an example, you along with all the other people who are part of that at Harvest Initiative. You're leading by example in some respects because you're all business owners in the community. And then you're also leading by teaching them. You're bringing these kids and families alongside of you. And one of the things that you did as we lead into our questions about school choice, which I agree with you, it does start with education.
Absolutely.
But you held, I wouldn't even call it a rally. It was more of a grassroots meeting at your barbershop, right?
Yes, several. One in particular that stood out was Martin Luther King Day.
Okay.
Archbishop Hebda. He came over to the shop. We had meatballs, sweet potato pie.
Sounds like a Southern thing to have.
It was, you know, we wanted him to experience us, mm-hmm. you know. And there were several folks from the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a discussion just about, it was about choice, but it was educating those who weren't familiar with what this meant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of nasty words that goes around, vouchers, or mm-hmm. you're going to take money from the Minneapolis Public Schools, or
okay.
not even Minneapolis, but you know, specifically the Minneapolis Public Schools.
Right.
But it was a very robust conversation, and at the end of the day, what it came down to was parents are the first teacher of the children.
Yes.
And, you know, the parent knows where the child needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a kid that's very creative and sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day could stymie their creativity.
Right.
And so it's personal for me because I was that kid that didn't want to sit down.
Right.
And so I'm about, and I mentor young boys who mm-hmm. I watch them. They don't want to sit down.
Right.
And their genius needs to be stirred up. And you have to get kids in the right situations, and I just don't want these guys to fall through the cracks because, you know, they're not getting what they need.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. I'm so in agreement with you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your own personal experience in terms of school? I know you said that you were that kid that didn't like to sit down, but somehow you made it, and you, I think, went on to even own, prior to your barbershop business, you somehow made it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I've always been entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
My mentor, so I'm a product of the Big Brother, Big Sister program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
My first Big Brother, God bless him, I think, you know, was a bit of a resume batter. Great guy, I'm not saying. He was young, you know, I get it, you know, community outreach.
Yeah.
But the second, he was recruited to Pennsylvania somewhere. So that left me without a big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she felt it was very important that I have a mentor. Mm-hmm. And she did probably one of the most courageous things that she's ever done. And that is, she picked a white guy.
Interesting.
He's German-Irish.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And at first, I'm like, no. No.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that experience for me being around someone who was completely different than me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went to Harvard, graduated at the top of his class, Dartmouth mm-hmm. graduate. You know, it allowed me to see what's happening, you know, on a day-to-day in the inner city, but mm-hmm. also be transposed to worlds outside the inner city. And that access, mm-hmm. It just really changed and shaped.
Yeah. Yeah, change and shape you completely. Yeah. So we are also kind of looking at the fact that one of the things that you did back then is that you dropped out of school, but you obviously had this mentor who shaped you, which was excellent. And I know that once you dropped out of school, you probably had some type of a plan or something, didn't you?
Well, there was a lot of disagreements there. They tried to bribe me. But, I had a barbershop when I was 14 in the basement. And so I was making a lot of money at a young age. And, I kind of knew where I wanted to go, and I knew I wanted to own my own business.
Right.
And by the time I was 19, I had a barbershop. But I had just decided that for me, there was a lot of things going on in North Minneapolis. We were actually called Murderapolis at that time.
Oh.
When I was 16, 17, yeah. We had the highest murder rate per capita in the United States, and that was my neighborhood. Those were my friends that I played basketball with who were being shot and killed. And so school was kind of secondary.
Yeah.
I got in trouble for, I think a lot of young men in the inner city dibble and dabble with, selling drugs because that's the way to get the shoes and get the girls and get the cutting hair and being entrepreneurial gave me a way to get what I wanted to get right then, right there, and also not have to risk my life.
Right.
And so I was making adult decisions. These were, school was kind of like a childish thing to me. And so that's kind of why.
Well, and I think about the fact that you had this mentor and then you had your mom. So the two of them together clearly had shown you a different path, too, how important that was. But imagine if you could have been a part of a school that would have also encouraged that, that would have been a very helpful thing for you.
Right. And also, too, the experience that you had growing up, with the encouragement from your mother and also your mentor, at what point then did the burden start to grow inside in terms of your heart for inner city families and their languishing in a broken education system in terms of the two coming together?
It's been there forever.
Yeah.
I remember, one of my best friends from the basketball team I played with, he was shot walking to our practice.
Oh.
And so, these are real consequences. Yeah. These are things that are happening every day to people that I know. And so the burden's always been there.
Yeah.
When I went into construction and when I was building houses and I moved away from my community, I was one of those guys that kind of forgot that I'm needed. We need to see people who are successful who also have a heart for us. And so, after the calamity of 2008 and I returned to North Minneapolis, I said never again, will I forget, because I think at some fundamental level I kind of forgot because I wasn't immersed in it. And then when I opened the barbershop and day to day seeing these kids walk back and forth and seeing fights break out and then seeing young guys come in and get a haircut and talk about their experience, that's when I saw, I need to say something. I need to do something. And so.
And what was it like? What was like just the content of your conversation with these families as they were coming into the barbershop?
The issues are, I think people care fundamentally, but there are in my community certain issues. For instance, when you have to work two jobs and you have to make these decisions, shelter, food, clothing, and somewhere down the line you want your kid to be well educated, but you have to go through your list of priorities.
Right.
And,
there's some basic
needs. I think people generally mean well. But folks are living different lives and have different things going on. And there's certain burdens that keep us, or some of us, from being able to educate our kids or make that the priority. I see if you give most mothers a $200,000 salary.
Yep. Yeah.
And some of the worries that they don't have, then they would be able to sit back and see, this is a problem. This daycare center that I call public school that I'm sending my child to may not be the best option.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh boy. That is really good. It's very powerful. You had shared with us before we came into the room here today, Houston, about some passion that you have regarding a couple of students. I know you shared some statistics about one of the local school districts. I think it was North St. Paul Maplewood. And then comparing that to an experience that you have of a young man who comes in and gets his hair cut at your barber shop who went to De La Salle, which is a private school, and just the difference that you saw there. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Well, yeah. I mean, some of the students, well, it was revealed to us that four kids in particular were proficient in both math and reading by the time they were in 11th or 12th grade.
Yeah, yeah. Only four.
And you juxtapose that with one of my clients, Ron Richards, who went to De La Salle. Now, he's an inner city boy, but he went to De La Salle, and this was his experience. As he said, you know, my experience at De La Salle, the fact that they required so much from us, and they gave us so much homework, and there was the expectation of excellence, prepared him for college. So when he got to college, some of his other roommates who went to certain schools that weren't prepared, you know, he called it light work because I had been given mountains of homework in high school. And so it was much easier for him to function, you know, at the college level because of that preparation. So I found it very interesting, actually. Like, you know, it matters. Mm-hmm. It matters, you know.
Yeah. The type of education does matter. And I'm sure that fed into your desire to try to help bring about school choice when you hear these kinds of stories and juxtaposed, like you said, with the story of the school district where only four actually are proficient at both. That seems just phenomenal in terms of, like I said, the sad discrepancy between the two options. And why would we want to withhold the option of De La Salle or some other private education for these kids when we don't have to?
Well, it's options, right? Choice.
Right. Parents know, choice. As you said.
Parents, you know, parents need... I don't have kids right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was a part of an initiative called Animate the Race, the Graves Foundation put on. And they actually launched this inside of my barbershop. Mm-hmm. And it was about bringing the school board candidate to the people. Mm-hmm. And letting the people ask the questions. And there were just some startling statistics and things that we learned. One that really was troubling to me was one of the schools, you know, each kid, they have to be escorted to the bathroom.
Oh, my. Because it's so dangerous, or why?
You know what?
You don't even know.
It's a policy. Okay. And the kids, these were kids bringing us this information and explaining why they felt traumatized in the public school system.
Yeah.
You know, that coupled with just the fact that the turnover rate with the teachers. Mm-hmm. So you can't get any consistency. Mm-hmm. You know, love is a big part of learning, in my opinion, because if you don't trust someone,
right,
most times you won't listen to them. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's just one ear out the other.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about loving kids into learning, giving an environment where it feels. And kids are, I mean, they're genius. Their subconscious, their consciousness is off the charts.
Right.
You know, they can pick up on whether someone is really in or out.
Oh, yeah. They can tell if they're really cared for.
Yeah.
And you're right. Not only does love give them a willingness to listen, but it also makes them willing to work.
No doubt.
You know,
about
if you know that your teacher loves you and cares for you and wants to see you achieve the best, you know, possible thing for your life, then you are going to work for that teacher much more likely than if you feel like the teacher doesn't really care about you.
Well, they take it personal.
The
they don't want to disappoint you.
Yeah.
You know, the young men that I work with at the barbershop, I moved the dial to them. So they don't want to disappoint me. And that's why they do well.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a much better form of motivating than the threat of expulsion or some type of punishment.
Right. So, absolutely agree.
With all these wonderful experiences, too, now, last week was National School Choice Week. You had the opportunity of going to the state capitol and sitting before lawmakers. With all the experiences that you've had, Houston, what was it that you were trying to convey to these different committees as you sat down with them?
You know, I was trying to appeal to their consciousness, bring human stories. Yeah. You know, our team is robust. There are plenty of folks that have data, information, and I let them speak as far as that is concerned. But you know, I was just really trying to bring the perspective of the local barber,
yeah,
a place that's sacred in the Black community, hearing the pains of people and also mentoring young boys who are falling through the cracks, mm-hmm, you know, and there has to be something done about it. You know, we have to at least give parents the option, if they so like, to put their kids in a place that they feel that they can truly support and that would be best suited for them. So, mm-hmm, I mean, that's what I was there to do, is really, really, really speak on behalf of my community.
And what was the kind of response that you received? Could you kind of discern what that was?
You know, it was overwhelming. I think there were a couple. I think the things that were the most interesting is when everyone stopped texting or jotting on their computers and they looked up.
Yeah.
Because there was something that was said that kind of resonated with them.
Right.
So, you know, I felt like in some ways I was getting the message across. Mm-hmm. And then coming out of the committee meetings, you know, a couple of the lawmakers came up to me and gave me the card and said, I'll be at the bar. I absolutely will come to the barbershop. And it just gives them an opportunity to see for themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really important because you are, as you said, you're living it and you're seeing this. And you had even kind of forgotten until you went back.
Oh, yeah.
And then you were reminded as you saw some of the fights breaking out or some of the stories that the kids were telling you or the families were telling you. And so to bring the lawmakers there to see firsthand what you're experiencing. And so that it puts a face with this school choice movement, which I think is incredibly important for us to remember. These are kids that are going to become adults. And we want the best for them. And what is the best way to achieve that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we are winding down on time here already. It goes so fast, Houston. I can't believe it. But we are so grateful for the time that you've spent in studio with us. And we want to really encourage you to keep up the excellent work. We're amazed at what you've accomplished. You look like you're all of about 29 years old or something.
Thank you.
And so we are just really pleased to have you here today. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And hope to do it again.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you all for joining us today as we've had this great conversation with Houston White of the Harvest Initiative in North Minneapolis. And we hope that you will take the time to go and check out what they're doing and get involved in the school choice movement. It's very important that we see this happen across the state of Minnesota. I know that we at Liberty Classical Academy and I know Bonito at Ascension Catholic School in Minneapolis and several others across the state of Minnesota would see the value in this school choice movement and legislation passing. It's all about helping individual kids. And when we stop and think about the fact that this is about children, it makes all the difference in the world because this is the only chance that they get at education. So I hope you join us next week as we launch into a new topic and check us out on Facebook or our iTunes account to listen to more podcasts.